we were entering into a season of Thanksgiving where we kind of walked through that a little bit last week. We talked about adoration as we worship God, and adoration is built on a daily practice. We read in the book of Job how Job was faithful even in the most difficult times of his life. When everything was gone, everything was taken, he was still able to rejoice and praise God, even in the very difficult times. And that became out of a daily practice of adoration that he had. So we remember, you know, who God is, even in the very difficult times. We praise God for all the things he has done for us and through us. But today, and so when we built this little series, we built it on the little acronym of ACTS, which is a way of praying. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication is just another word for prayer. So today I'm going to not talk about confession completely, but talk about community instead. It's another C word, so it fits. And it's okay. Nobody else knows until I told you. So now you all know. We want to talk about spiritual community and something that we should be thankful for when it comes to our faith journey. Now, some of you know my story. I'm in the midst of going to school again, and it's been quite a journey for me personally in my own development, and my own growth, and in just processing some things about myself and some of the classes. It's a good thing. The classes have taken me to a place to kind of do those things, which has been good. But, you know, I've got to come up with an idea. I've got to then write about that idea, and then I've got to let other people read that idea and tell me how terrible my idea is so that it can be a better idea at the end, right? That's the idea of going to school. And so I was called an idealist this week, which I took as a compliment. I'm not sure they meant it as a compliment, but I took it as a compliment. So I'm working on this paper where it's this idea that pastors and leaders in congregations in faith communities are on equal footing with those they lead. So that the pastor is no more special or no more below, or everybody is equal in front of Jesus Christ. And I'm arguing that then in that process, you should be able to find a pastor or a leader, should be able to find authenticity, find community in the midst of the people they lead. And for that, I was called an idealist. Because there is a running theme out there that says pastors can't be vulnerable. Pastors can't be too authentic with too many people, because if I confess the wrong thing to the wrong person, basically I would lose my job. Right? And that's kind of the way some people believe. And I'm okay with that, and I just say, I think you're wrong, and they look at me and they say, I think you're wrong, and they call me an idealist, and I move on. But that's okay. So that was the one thing that this past week happened to me. The second thing, I had this really cool, encouraging experience. It happened 2 days ago, and I've already told many of you the story, so you get to hear it three times instead of just once. But I don't know, some of you may know that I'm an avid golfer, and I love to play golf. And I was struggling with a little swing, and I called the golf course and said, hey, I'd like to have a lesson. And there's a guy there named Don. He's been around forever and a day. I think Dan's known him since he was in high school. And Don said, sure, come, let's have a lesson. It's great. So he taught me a few things. But the coolest thing about the lesson was that he encouraged me all the way through. And evidently, a while ago, I told the guy one of my golf bucket lists is to play in a tournament, in a U.S. amateur tournament. And he was like, man, don't ever let go of that dream. It may be a pipe dream, but don't let go. It's a great, and he's like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And he was just so excited that I would even think about doing that. And he goes, you're good enough, you can do it. I know you can do it. And I thought, man, this guy's just blowing smoke. But then I remembered, like, I walked up on him when he was giving another lesson, and he didn't blow smoke at all on that guy. He goes, at the end of that guy's lesson, he goes, I didn't want to say this at the beginning, but your golf swing's terrible. I was like, well, okay, so maybe if he tells that guy he's terrible, maybe he's telling me is what is true. And I was watching the other guy, and it was terrible. It was terrible. But in community, you should be able to find places where you are challenged, where you are encouraged, where you are not alone. And that we should think about those things. And in this season of Thanksgiving, we should be thankful for those things. We should thank God that we are not alone. Now, I know we live in a tough world. Being independent is important for adults. Being a child, you can be a child. But as an adult, you need to be independent. You need to be able to survive, be able to take care of yourself. And I understand that, and I'm not saying that we all need to become, you know, solely dependent on, you know, somebody else to be alive. But we're not alone. We need to remember that. We need to say thanks for that. We should give thanks for that reality. We need people who speak into our souls and being able to find that community. Now, all through the Bible, and if you'd like to turn to, we're going to be in two places, Romans chapter 15 and Psalm 133. I'll read both of those out loud if you don't want to go there, but we'll be in those two places. So throughout the Bible, you see this idea, this conversation, this talking about unity and being together and finding fellowship with God's people. In the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings, we read about how we are to treat, love, encourage our brothers and sisters. And this is what Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, says about that. This is the New International Version of that reading. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepts you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that the Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises may be in the patriarchs might be up to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For as is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all the Gentiles, let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will have hope. So Paul, and this is not the only place, tells us that because of Jesus, we should be with each other, bear each other's burdens, walk with each other, encourage each other. And he talks about how he gives us his word, and it's through the Scriptures that we find encouragement. And we learn that it's through God that we have this encouragement. Because there are days that we need help. There isn't a human on the planet that doesn't need help at some point in their life. We need building up. Sometimes we need to be told the truth. Sometimes you get to be the truth teller. Other times you get to be the one who hears the truth. the scholar by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he died during World War II. He opposed Hitler. Hitler eventually killed him in a concentration camp. And he wrote a lot of things from prison and before prison and all of those kinds of things. And this is, he wrote a book called Life Together. And this is a quote from that book. He says, therefore, the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to them. They need help again and again when they become uncertain and discouraged. For by themselves, they cannot help themselves without contradicting the truth. They need a brother or a sister to be a bearer and a proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. They need their brothers or their sisters solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in their own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of their brother and sister. Their own heart is uncertain. Their brother's heart is sure. We need each other. We need to be able to hear from each other. We need to be able to know that somebody is speaking the truth to you. But they're speaking God's word to you. And sometimes, as he says, God's word in your own heart is weaker than the word in your brother's heart or in the word that he is telling you. And surely you've experienced this. Surely you've been in a place where you didn't think you could do something, and it was just the word someone spoke to you that encouraged you, and it made said, you know, I can do this. I can move on. I can keep going. That somebody tells you that, you know what, you need to believe in yourself. You need to know that you can do that. That God hasn't forsaken you. That what you've done in the past doesn't mark your future. All of those things are true. You need people to be able to do that. And one day you might be that person for someone else. That we are called to be together in unity to be with each other. And I have no idea why. I mean, I've got my ideas, but it would take way too long to talk about it here. But over history, throughout history, especially 20th century history, the church has really isolated itself as individuals. It was just easy to do. Especially in a first world country where you weren't being persecuted for many things, where you pretty much had what you needed. It was easy to make Jesus a very personal, isolated thing for just you and nobody else. But there's blessing that comes in community. So if you want to turn over to Psalm 133, very short psalm, take you about 10 minutes to memorize it if you wanted to. It's three verses. Psalm 133. And it says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured over the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Now, I like word pictures, and this is a great word picture, especially for us because we did not grow up in this culture, in this Jewish culture. But he likens unity to two things. First, he tells us it's pleasant. It's good. God finds it good when he sees his people living together in unity. When he sees his people caring for each other. When he sees his people living in a place where they want to see each other succeed. So then he likens it to these two things. The first, he says, he talks about it being poured down on the head of the high priest. That's who Aaron is. In this picture, Aaron is the high priest. Now, it's No Shave November, so many of us are growing our beards out. And so it would be this idea of it flowing down and going into your beard, for those who have one. And for Israel, for them hearing this, this would be something they would remember about, and those who were alive or heard stories about being in the desert. When Aaron was the priest, when they were together in God's presence, and Aaron was leading them in worship. That they were unified, that the oil would flow down and Aaron would be wearing this breastplate, this thing that had all the names of Israel on it. And it was this idea that they would all be unified in this oil that is running down over the top of his head. And then the second picture is this picture of this mountain called Hermon. Now in Israel, Hermon is a very high peak. Hermon is about 10,000 feet. Now, it's famous for being green in the summer. Now, we can understand this pretty well because we live in a valley that is dry in the summer. And in our current state, it's dry all year round, right? I mean, we're really struggling. But Hermon was so high in the way the weather would flow over the top of the mountain, it would have dew in the summertime that would keep everything green. So when he's alluding to this picture of the mountain, that there would be this dew that would come down off of the mountain, it would actually land on Mount Zion, which is Israel. And it wouldn't be dry anymore, it would be green. It was where the blessings reside. So it's this idea of being refreshed, that we are refreshed when we are together and we are unified and we are working with each other and for each other. It's this place that God says His blessing resides, where God's people are refreshed, where they live in unity, where His brothers and sisters live in community with each other, a place where brothers and sisters refresh each other. We should thank God for those people. In this season of Thanksgiving, as we process, it's the whole cycle. It's the end of the year, and we begin to process life differently. It becomes the wintertime, and things, well, not for us so much, but things kind of get colder, and we process life this way. It's a season. It's a season that we can say thanks. And I thank God for you, for a place where I'm able to live in unity with you. My family is here with you and your family with me. This isn't true around the world. There are places in this world that people don't get to live out loud, out in front, in public, in their faith. There are people that have to live in hiding with their faith because of persecution. It's been that way for... It's currently that way in some parts of our world, and it's been that way throughout history. But we get to live in a place where we can do that in public. So I thank God for that. That we can be in a season where we can live and we can openly worship together. So as we give thanks, if you want to pull out a piece of paper, you can. You can do this in your mind. But I want you to answer a couple of questions. Who pours into your life? Who speaks life into your soul? There are plenty of people, I am sure, you could make another list of the people who remove your soul, who want to pour death into your soul, who do not want to bring you life. There are plenty of people who we can be surrounded by that mess. Who will stand on a little spot out in the middle of the golf course and sit there and tell you, you can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Who do you have that tells you the truth? Because we need to be told the truth sometimes. When you're doubting, when you're confused, we should give thanks for them today. So let's do that for just a second. Let's pause, quietly think, just for a second, who you would want to give thanks to God for what they've done, what they are doing. I wasn't going to do it out loud, but I changed my mind. Let's do that out loud. Who would like to give thanks for someone in their life that God has specifically placed in their life? And you can't say my name. I don't count. Anybody want to do that? Yeah. Thanks for throwing the rest of us husbands under the bus. Thanks a lot, man. Wait. Can we all agree, husbands, that we're going to agree with Jesse? Yes, good. Amen. 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 All right. Thank you. It's not physical. We don't need to have it. Okay, all right. Good. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Right.
And he says, Tim, what would happen if you died tonight? Nobody else could do it again.
Right.
And that freaked me out and things love about.
That's cool. How long ago was that?
Well, that was about 40 years ago.
40 years ago. He forgot how old he was for about that long. Very cool. Awesome. Great. Yes, ma'am. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. You don't strike me as someone who shoots off their mouth before they think. But I'm glad that you have Bob for that. That's great. Amen. Anybody? Yes, sir. Awesome. What was their name? Danae. Okay. Great. Anybody else? Good. It's okay. We should give thanks. We should have people in our life who can speak truth to us, who can speak life into our souls. This is the way Jesus, God, developed this idea of a faith walk. It wasn't built on isolation. It wasn't built to do it alone. We weren't built that way. It just wasn't built that way. So Christ unifies us. He brings us together. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Jesus Christ alone is our unity. He's our peace. And through Him alone, we have access to one another, to joy in one another, and fellowship with one another. We should have that together. Our worship team is going to come and sing us a song and close our service. I want to pray for us. If you do not have someone who is encouraging you, someone who can speak truth to you, there are places for you to find that. We have a few small groups that you can find that in. There are a list on the back table. You can find a way to. There are men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies and a few other groups from there. There are places for you to find that. You can just ask an individual to go to lunch. Find a way to be encouraged. Do not walk alone. And we should give thanks in this season for who God has put in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, that you have called us together and you have unified us. You have unified us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that there's no one in this room, no one who calls this place home or who are not even here today for whatever reason. I pray that they would find and we would find a place where we feel connected to each other and connected to you. God, that people speak life into our souls. God, I pray that we would be people who speak life into other people. That we understand that this isn't something we hold on to and keep to ourselves, but it is something that we should share. God, we thank you so much for all that you have done, that you speak life to us through your Son, Jesus, through your Scriptures, and through each other. and that we don't have to walk this journey alone. Father, we praise you for all of that, and we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.